And good morning. You're listening to K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3, 836 AM, Wednesday, September 20th, 75 degrees, and we have Community Connection this morning, brought to you by First Baptist Church, Tallgrass Motors, and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic. Excuse me. We have Chuck McCauley, the superintendent of Bartlesville Public Schools this morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. Welcome back in. You're a regular here on this program, but I think we've only had a chance to sit down once or twice,
right?
At least for this program. So always good to see you. School's back in session,
yeah.
Full swing. I think the last time we spoke was during the summer. We're kind of gearing up for it, mm-hmm. but full back in swing. Everything going well so far?
Yeah, we're off to a great start. And before we get started, I want to just to put out our condolences over at Nowata. You know, obviously, I know they're not having school tomorrow because of a longtime community member, school person, Ty Hewitt, passed away. And I know Ty. Ty, actually, his first teaching job, we taught and coached together in Jay, Oklahoma, when we were both very young. And Ty comes from a great family. He's a great school man, as just a good person. And I know that whole community's hurting. And I know that I plan to be at the funeral tomorrow and really want to just say wish our condolences to that whole, of course, their family, but that whole community.
Absolutely, and you know, it's different school districts, but sure. I feel like the teaching community as a whole is one rather large family, more or less.
That's right, and Ty and his wife, Dee Dee, is a teacher also, and Ty's father is a longtime middle school principal over there at Nowata, and so they're just good people, and I just hate that for them, but our thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of middle school, sure. Leading with that, middle school is doing well. Everything's getting gearing back into a lot of construction work still going on,
sure.
A lot of building still going on, but
sure.
Moving
yeah.
right along.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. You know, as a result of our 2016 bond issue, a little over a year ago, we had several of our projects they're complete. The only thing that we have left that we're working on right now, we have a few, we're finishing up some space over at Madison Middle School. We've done quite a large renovation over there, and so kind of the last touches is an area over there that's going to result in a new choir room, as well as some locker room spaces there. That was really some unused space, some wasted space over there that's will be finished here in just the last couple of weeks. And then the last kind of big project that we have is, and I say big, it's at the Custer Stadium underneath. At that lower level, some locker room spaces that we'll have. And so what that will result in, our tennis teams, our cross country teams and soccer teams, it's going to enable them to have some renovated spaces, locker room spaces, which obviously goes right out onto the track or courts or field. And so that work is ongoing. And our plan for that, matter of fact, I have a meeting here shortly to get an update on the schedule, but the plan for that is to hopefully have that work done so that our kids are able to use those spaces when their seasons get in full swing here at the start of the next semester. So it's been a really busy summer, had a lot of work going on. We still have some finishing touches, but we're pleased to be in our new spaces. You know, Hoover Elementary and Jane Phillips Elementary both received significant upgrades, and they have been rousing success over there. We're pleased to get that work done in a timely manner. Also some work around the Phillips Field House, which has enabled us to some of our some wasted space, really, so not some great, I should say wasted, not great space, updated. That's really helping our palm teams, our wrestling team, our cheer teams. Matter of fact, our cheer squad, they just qualified for the state last week. They had regionals last week, so really proud of them. So and of course a big piece of the bond issue was to help us technology-wise. We did roll out our Chromebooks to all of our freshmen, so almost 500 ninth graders. We rolled out our Chromebooks, and then now here we are, less than a year away. We'll be going 9th through 12th grade. We'll be rolling out, being that one-to-one all the way through our high school. And the following year, we'll be going down to the 6th grade level. So really, really excited, but really appreciate our community support for those projects.
Well, congratulations to the cheer squad. I want to say that, as they qualified there. Mm-hmm. Kind of taking a step back here, the school board meeting Monday evening, you're mentioning things are kind of be working on for those locker rooms and stuff. There's a little bit of a, I guess, discrepancy, if you will, about some block work being done at Custer Stadium. Kind of what is the situation with that?
Yeah, that's the working. That's part of the part of the you know, the challenges you have when you're working through construction projects, mm-hmm. and this is the latest thing that we're working on. So, matter of fact, we have a meeting here after this to visit with our architect to talk about what our path is forward. And so there's some block work that needs to be done underneath, and mm-hmm. so our architect is fleshing that issue out with Gorman Construction. We have a local general contractor that's handling that. And the same contractor that had the contract for over at our softball locker room that was done, they had the lowest bid for this work at the Custer Stadium, and so we just want to make sure that the bid that we have from them meets the specification and that we're getting what we paid for. So we're working through that right now.
Sure, absolutely. And sure. Not to put you on this hot seat or anything, sure. But the plan for right now is that you're hoping to still be able to do construction and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, so yes, it's going to happen. I mean, we're going to do this. It's just a matter of what makes the most sense at this point. You know, when you get into these renovation jobs, they're challenging, just like when you renovate an old house. And Custer Stadium is not new. I was principal of the high school when we did some major renovation over there. And when you have a 1939 building with a 1950 add-on, there are challenges that you run into with, especially trying to modernize those spaces too. So this is just another piece in that puzzle. So we're just really excited to be able to utilize existing space that we have to really, that our kids can capitalize on that without, which makes us more efficient, you know, without having to build new spaces to do it. So yeah, it's definitely going to happen. This is just another step in the process to work through.
Sure. And again, so things are moving forward. And as you mentioned, it's really efficient moving things around and using space. I guess now that the bond issue has passed, I can mm-hmm. say this, I was really impressed with the fact that it wasn't necessarily about we're going to build all this new stuff, we're going to use all this money, it was about let's use a space that we have and let's change things and let's right. build minor things here and there so we can accommodate more kids and more students and more athletes all across the board. We're not just trying to just take space and just build giant monuments and stuff. It's like we're trying to use what we already have, and that was impressive.
That's right. The only new square footage, the only new rooftop we have in the whole project was our softball locker room, mm-hmm. which is 1,000 square feet. And of course, once again, that enabled us to get those girls out of the locker rooms at Madison, which is that's why we're having a new choir room over there. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a good plan. I think it's something that people can relate to, and so we're very proud of the community support for those projects, and also, and more importantly, just operationally, you know, to have those additional dollars to be able to help us operationally, that's been a lifesaver during these challenging budget times.
I mean, absolutely. Again, it's not just, you know, another thing that's I think was really important about this. It wasn't just benefiting an athletic program, which I think a lot of people just assume every time you do a bond. Sure. It's just always that it was athletics, but it was also the arts. It was the fine arts. It was students. We talk about Chromebooks, rolling them out to more and more students. Mm-hmm. Technology is ever present, and mm-hmm. more and more schools are doing these Chromebooks, but it's still kind of going into the unknown a little bit. A lot of schools are going to it, but even more schools, it seems like, are still holding on to those paper and hardback sure. textbooks.
The world is changing. I mean, who would have thought, just talking to adults here, to think about the way we operate. Here I am, I have my phone out that I have my notes on that I can keep track of that I entered from my computer, and so the way that we're able to communicate with each other. I really think that this technology is an equalizer for kids. I mean, because kids, no matter what background that they come in, you know, they all now have the same device that they're using. They're learning how to communicate with each other and also with adults with that, which is a challenge. And really what we're having to work hard on is that professional development piece, is working with our adults, working with our teachers to making sure that they are prepared to use these to the best of their ability. So yes, it was a broad ranging. Obviously, the bond issue helped us operationally. It helped us just our general fund. We're able to shift some expenses. We talked some about the athletic end, but on the fine arts end, we added over 7,000 square feet for our fine arts programs. The technology, that's going to touch every kid. You know, we talked about the Hoover and Jane Phillips renovations that we have at those two elementaries, not to mention our buses that we're able to purchase that, our gas mileage is two to three times better than what it was in the old buses. So that's obviously helps us to be more efficient. So we're very, very fortunate to have that type of community support. You know, at our board meeting on Monday, we also did a board spotlight. We recognized Truity Credit Union and also our Public School Foundation. And Truity Credit Union as you, in case anyone doesn't know, they have announced a 3-year commitment to Bartlesville Public Schools. They're a strong backer of us, of our district, and they've committed $200,000 over the next 3 years. And one thing that they did, we've been working with them for the past few months with our teachers, because one, the biggest challenge that we face in Bartlesville, and like all school districts in Oklahoma, is having a high quality teacher in every classroom. There's fewer people going into it, and so therefore we have to work really hard on retaining our current staff and doing everything we can to recruit the best and brightest that we can. And one thing that we all know that teachers do, they spend money out of their pocket every year. And so what Trudy stepped up and did, they announced our back to school ride. They gave every teacher a $50 bill, which was a lot of fun. You know, that equates to over $20,000 for them. And they've committed to doing that the next 3 years. They've also have some money set aside to help some parent support group organizations like they traditionally do. For example, like Central Middle School has a 5K coming up in February. They've always been a supporter of that. Project graduation after prom, those type of things that they'll continue to do. And also their foundation donates money to our school, and we'll use those funds to help us with our STEM initiative in our elementary schools, which kind of leads me into the Public School Foundation. Last year, I worked with our foundation to help us fill the gap. You know, our STEM program is just exploding. We're so fortunate with Phillips 66 support. We've made some great strides, have some new offerings for our kids at our high school and middle school level. We will obviously want to expand that at our elementary schools, and so using Project Lead the Way curriculum, our public school foundation, last year they raised funds so that we could implement, get that started this school year. And so we have a computer science pathway. So that's a computer science module for every kid at every elementary from kindergarten through the fifth grade. We've trained our teachers. We have the supplies for that. Our foundation raised over $85,000 for us last year. ConocoPhillips also wrote us a check for $35,000 so that we can implement this program. And we're starting with the computer science pathway for this year. Our vision for that, there's additional offerings under Project Lead the Way in engineering and biomedical that we plan to expand over the next couple years. But those things that takes funding to replace supplies and the new technology that's required for those offerings. And the Public School Foundation, they have a target this year. Their goal is to raise $100,000 to help us implement that for next year. And we recognize them also Monday night. So we're very appreciative of their Blair Ellis is our executive director that the foundation hired last summer, that she's heading that up. It's the first time they've had an executive director. Justin Krebs, who's Bank First president, he's the president of the foundation also, and they announced that kickoff on Monday. So very, very fortunate to have that kind of community to help us have these offerings for our kids.
Great community here in Bartlesville, always willing to help with whatever organization, but especially public schools. We're looking at our time here, Mr. Colley. Got to take a quick break, and we'll come back. More Community Connection on the way.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
All right, we're back here at Community Connection. Real cool story on our website, BartlesvilleRadio.com, about the school board meeting. One real cool note about that, ACT scores was a topic of discussion there, and Bartlesville students averaged a score of 20.8, which is higher than the average of 19.4. Now, that speaks extremely highly about the high school teachers and people like that, but I also want to say, in my personal belief, and you're more than welcome to correct me, that it speaks highly about all the teachers going down, because education doesn't start just in high school. You know, I'm getting ready for those ACTs, and I've took my fair share of them. You know, I didn't just learn how to take the ACT based just in high school. So all the teachers growing up, I have to thank for that.
Oh, absolutely. We're very, very proud. And obviously, that number is actually down to what it has been traditionally, but that was the first year that all of our kids took the test. And so we knew that statewide that was going to happen when, you know, because traditionally we'd have about 70, 75% of our kids take the test. You know, the previous year, our average is around a 22.4. But yes, you're absolutely right. That doesn't just happen in high school. The biggest part of that test, obviously, is reading, you know, in terms of, no matter whether it's the science part, the piece of it, or the, you know, the English and the grammar part. And so that obviously starts very, very young. I mean, so, you know, that's what research tells us. It's very important for kids to be on pace, you know, by that third grade, you know, by that third grade level. So, yes, it takes all of our teachers, obviously our family support to have that kind of student achievement.
And you mentioned that all the students are taking this test now, you know, again, numbers kind of go down a little bit, but I think as a whole, it's probably a pretty good thing. Some students who may not have the opportunity to take it are being able to take it and have opportunities in the future. As a school district, I don't want to say there's an emphasis on specifically taking this test, but have things kind of shifted for you all, saying, okay, now we have this opportunity, maybe we can start doing some more things towards it?
Absolutely. Our high school, that's one of their initiatives that they have, is make sure, and this is statewide also, but making sure our curriculum is lining up for kids to be successful on the ACT. You know, the previous state testing was relied around just specific courses. For example, you have an Algebra 1 course, you take a test at the end, Geometry, English 2, English 3, U.S. History and Biology. All that did was really assess how much that you knew in that specific course. And truthfully, when kids graduated from high school, colleges, they don't care what you did on your U.S. History end of instruction or algebra. They don't care. What they want to know is, how'd you do on your ACT score? Mm-hmm. So I think this test is more meaningful for kids, and so therefore, obviously, what we want to set our kids up for success. We want to align our curriculum so that kids are set up for to be as successful as they can be on their ACT. And like you say, I think it's a wonderful opportunity. Maybe a kid is not planning on going to college, which is great, but at some point, it's good to have that score. Maybe he's getting into a trade school, or maybe down the road, he's getting into a junior college or getting started somewhere, and that's one less thing he has to do to get where he wants to be.
Absolutely. And say what you will about standardized testing, but, you know, again, I believe that all these kids who are out there, whether they plan to go to college or not, the opportunity to take an ACT, well, they might not have it, because you got to pay for those,
to
take them outside. And I remember, you know, you show up on Saturday morning and pay for it and all this other stuff. It's good to give that opportunity, just, you know, whether they plan on it or not, just have the moment.
I concur.
But doing on that, again, all the teachers out there doing well, kind of facing as a whole for the state of Oklahoma, I don't say a shortfall, but not necessarily the best budget plans, and not necessarily a lot of teachers are leaving and stuff. But Bartlesville seem to, for the most part, be able to retain most of the teachers and be able to say, you know, we're facing this, we're moving money around. You've done a really good job, in my opinion, of shifting funds and finding ways to keep teachers around.
You know, we're doing the best we can, but the reality is that's our biggest. That's a challenge for us as well. Ben, and just 5 years ago, the state of Oklahoma had to approve 32 emergency teaching certifications for the entire state. Mm-hmm. Last year, there's over 1,100, and so that just shows you that 5 years ago, We didn't have to hire, teachers were better trained coming into the profession. We're doing everything we can, but I can tell you that that challenge has hit us, it hit us squarely too. We have 10 teachers that are emergency certified, and just to know, these are folks that have degrees, they just don't have all the training that we would like them to have. Sure. Before they go into the classroom. And the reality is there's fewer people going into education. We're doing everything we can here locally to do that. However, we do need this, we do need the state of Oklahoma to step up and fund these sources, these, you know, to fund these core services for our, for the state of Oklahoma, for all of our, for everyone. You know, there's a special session obviously that's getting ready to get started next week. There is, it's a shame that we're having to spend money to send them back to a special session to do what they should have done back during back in the spring. However, there is an opportunity to make things better, and I hope that they will do that.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to note with the emergency certified teachers is 10 is a relatively small number for a school district of this size.
Sure.
And also, I just want to point that that emergency certified teachers, you know, you're correct, they don't have all the training, but doesn't necessarily mean that these are the, you know, the worst of the worst teachers.
Oh, that's
these
right.
Are, these are good people, and I know that you guys are probably keeping an eye on them and trying to mentor and help them help their students.
Sure, absolutely. You know, it's caused us to evaluate what we're doing professional development-wise, make sure we're supporting our teachers because we want them to be successful. And sometimes it may be a situation where a teacher is trained in a certain content area, but the reality is we need them to teach a different content area. Mm-hmm. And so those typically those situations are much better than when you have someone that hasn't had any background in terms of the education. They may have the content, but just because you know math doesn't mean you can get 28 kids to sit down and and be excited about algebra 2.
I get it. I totally understand. We're looking at our time. We're running out of time here. I appreciate it, Mr. McCauley. You got meetings to do, more things doing, always something going on. But we appreciate the work that you do for the city of Bartlesville and for Bartlesville Public School District.
You bet. Thanks. Good to see you.
At Quick Lane at Dungeness Ford, we're ready to serve, especially when it comes to getting the right tire price. With our low-price tire guarantee, we'll meet any price on the 13 major tire brands we sell, including Michelin, VF.